Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Welcome everybody. I guess we could say that this is like the premiere episode, least certainly for just you and I, Dr. X, for Shollycast. You probably heard in the intro, who we are, and the real thing we wanted to talk about was why we started this in the first place. And I feel like Dr. X, you'd have a better you were able to kind of tell me about this the other day a lot better. But basically, how many podcasts have there really been that talk about Shota and Lolly just in general, but also adding on to the NSFW porn adult aspect to it?
You haven't really... I haven't heard of any of them. I haven't heard of that happening ever, which is unfortunate, but the good thing is that we're making that podcast right now, so we get to talk about those issues.
We're making history right
about
now.
those issues and those topics. I don't want to say issues, really. It's more like those topics. But basically, we started this podcast because no one else was talking about it in voice, and voice really adds a different element to the whole thing. It's pretty different from talking in text. It's also our goal to talk on this podcast with other NSFW creators of Lolly and Shota.
Yes.
So we're really looking forward to doing that.
And you know, part of the reason why, like, having a podcast like this can be helpful to Lolly and Shota creators is because, well, number one, Lolly and Shota creators don't have a very big range of places where they can post and talk about the content they create, right? I mean, there's basically very little around there, or you can sometimes take the risk on certain platforms, but as we've seen, you know, that doesn't always mean that you're going to keep your account there. So this is a great way to get their voice heard and also kind of promote their work.
Exactly. It's super important that we as Shota and Lolly creators support each other and network with each other and all that, because as Hydro said, we have limited options on how to do that. I mean, you can talk about it on Twitter, which is great, but
yes,
if you if you directly post NSFW of Lolly and Shota, then you kind of have to be lucky if you don't get banned.
It's literally a coin flip. I mean,
yeah,
I've seen Japanese artists do it a lot, and you know, sometimes they get in trouble and sometimes they don't. It's very, very inconsistent, and it's kind of always been that way. But I think it's gotten a little less severe over time. And you know, some content creators have managed to build followings on there, and it's great to see that. One of the things that I don't know if you've ever encountered this, Dr. X, but, what's happened with me sometimes is I'll go on like Sankaku Complex, or I'll go on like just a website to look up some Lolly and Shota form that I can slap my meat around to. And, nice. and what'll end up happening is I'll find some, whether it's 2D artwork or 3D artwork from a creator of Lolly and Shota and be like, oh, that's the name of them. Cool. I'm going to look them up. And I type them in, and it actually takes me forever to find them because they have maybe like one platform that they're on, or the alias that they were tagged on that website is different from what they use on social media sites. Have you ever had that problem before?
I'm pretty sure I have had that problem before, and it might be tied to, you know, sometimes people need to remake their account if they get banned.
Yeah, that's right.
And they might do it under like a slightly different name or something.
Yep.
So that's one reason why sites like Barrag are really a godsend, because you don't have to worry about getting banned there. You just keep all your shit there.
And speaking of Barrag, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with Barrag.net, but I'm sure many of you are already that are listening to this podcast, since, you know, this podcast is obviously going to appeal to the very cultured crowd of Lolly and Shota. But Barrag is pretty much the only place where you can post any artwork that you want with no ramifications. And that website only runs off of basically support from people who use the site. They have a subscribe star, and that's, as far as I know, that's really the only way they generate income to run the server costs. So, you know, if you use Barrag and you really love Barrag like I do, what's the name of the owner of Barrag, or like kind of like the main administrator?
I think his name is Satori, maybe.
Yes, I think you're right. It might be that, which is kind of funny because Satori, I think, is the name of like the Bitcoin person who came up with Bitcoin.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, the owner of Barrag, he was saying just a few weeks ago from this recording that the cost of Barrag's server costs are going to be going like way up at the end of this year in 2023. So, you know, If you can help him out, definitely do that. Because again, they essentially are a source of Lolly and Shota creators to be able to network, and that's hugely important. So I support them every month on Subscribestar, and I think it's well worth it.
Exactly, it's very very cause to support Barrag. Do you pronounce it Barrag or Barrag?
I kind of interchange. I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced, because nobody, I don't think anybody's really ever said the word out loud in the context of like a podcast.
Well, this is the first time.
It's just like how I used to say Lolly. I used to say it Lolly, which I still partially kind of feel like I should say it that way because of the way you pronounce Sholikon and plus Shota. So I figured, oh, it's got to be Lolly, but that's besides the point. The point is that they're both great genres that we love, that we've enjoyed for quite a while. I actually can't remember how far back I was really looking at like straight Shota stuff. I'm pretty sure I like started off with straight Shota stuff, but I don't remember like a specific image I start with. I do recall a comic by Pandora's Box called the Kama Sutra, which involved, I think, Trunks and what's the mom's name? Bulma? Is it Bulma?
Yes. And his friend involved as well, right?
Yes. There's like two Shotas and then Bulma, and that's the only one, that's the earliest example I can recall of like one that I really, really liked. You know, I gave like five out of five stars are in my mind and my penis too.
Right.
So, but other than that, I think I literally would just kind of mix in looking at straight Shota stuff and looking at other artwork. And then over time, I just kind of built up the interest in straight Shota and Lolly.
Yeah, exactly. It was the same thing for me. Back in the day, I didn't think it was very weird, Lolly and Shota stuff. I think the first one I might have seen might have been Link from Legend of Zelda for Shota and Saria, from the same series as well. And they're both good Shotos and Lollies, for sure. I think the Legend of Zelda series definitely has some good Shotos and Lollies. Well, in terms of Shota, it's really just Link, honestly.
Pretty much. I can't really think of any other Shotas, unless we're talking about discount Shota, which is a whole nother funny topic that we talk about sometimes. And in that regard, it'd probably be what a Tingle is what's his name.
He'd oh no, I would not put them Shota and Tingle in the same sentence.
You never know. I mean, there's that whole definition goes all over the place. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of good Lollies, though. You're right. There's kind of like a disproportion there. I mean, unless you count like all the different Links from like Minish Cap or what was the one that had the like the different colored? they basically were just young Link, but wearing like different clothing colors. There was red. It was red, blue, green, and I think there was even like black, and it was weird. I don't know what game series it was from.
I forgot. I could have sworn it was from like Game Boy Advance or something, and it was like a multiplayer game. But
I think it was called like Four Seasons, maybe, or something like that.
It might have been.
I can't remember.
I don't know. Like I think distinguishing between the different young Links is kind of splitting hairs, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, compared to, like, you know, basically his harem of Lollies that he has, because he's got Saria. Is it Saria? Or is it... Yeah, it's Saria, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not sure how you really pronounce it. I always pronounce it Saria.
Yeah, there's Saria in the Kokiri Forest. There's Princess Zelda when she was younger. There's Malin. I think it's Malin. Who does it? That's how you learn Epona's song. And then we can't forget about all the Gerudos, which are more into the straight Shota aspect, and the great fairy fountain. It's kind of funny how young Link pretty much plays perfectly into Shoulikon and straight Shota with all those different characters, all those different female characters.
Yeah, it helps that he's like the only prominent Shota I can actually think of in the series.
So maybe
he's got his harem. It's just like the first IA.
That's, I was just thinking of that. Yes, yeah. The first IA pretty much had the same scenario. Nate pretty much was the only male in existence in the first IA, which we then changed that a bit in the second IA by adding in another male Shota, Tracy. And you know, I believe we've talked about this a little bit in our official IA server, but we have certainly, well, even if we didn't, we have sometimes we've contemplated adding in like either parents or like other adult characters that would not necessarily be characters you can fuck, but would be characters that would just appear in order to just expand the world.
Yeah, like Alex's parents or Tracy's parents.
Sarah's parents.
Exactly. All that kind of stuff. Having characters that are you interact with or exist in the world, but you can't fuck, makes things a little more believable.
Yes.
So that's something we want to do in the second game, and future games as well, is not just have the protagonist be the only male or something like that. And have characters you can interact with that you can't fight, like I said.
Another good example of this is, so in the first two IA games, IA1, IA2, the dad was non-existent. He basically was an enigma. Or an eligma, what happened was some people were asking. Well, I remember they were always asking, you know, well, what's this backstory of the dad in IA1, and we didn't really have anything. Then in IA2 with Robin and Daniel, we decided to give a little more backstory on the dad, just to at least give some kind of context as to Robin's situation. But Dr. X and I are pretty firmly set on in a future IA game, IA3, which I know it's very, very far down the road. So I need to be clear that's still very far off. But one of the things we want to do is actually have a dad character in it, who actually interacts with the protagonist.
Yes, and we have a very carefully thought out plan on how to implement that without involving NTR. The very notorious thing that's always looming with certain situations.
Maybe that's why it's called NTR, notorious. That's the acronym.
But so we don't want NTR in our game, so we make sure that we can do a father character without involving that sort of thing.
And I know some of you probably wondering, what? How can they do that? That's like impossible. Well, you'll see. You'll see when the time comes. But, you know, we're not really going to reveal much more than that. We just want to kind of say that we like the idea that there will be a father character that mm-hmm. the protagonist can interact with, and, you know, not just, you know, he's like invisible or like, you know, just isn't around at all. Like he actually plays, I would say, a fairly prominent role, at least in what we're thinking of, right?
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't say he's like a background character or anything like that. It would be, but just for a little background information, our idea that pretty much sure we're going to go with is that IA3 is going to be a sci-fi setting and probably primarily sit on a spaceship. So he'd be on the spaceship prominently and everything like that. So he won't be in a background character. That's the current plan. And I have talked, we have talked about IA3 more on the IA Discord server. So there's little snippets here and there of what we're planning to do.
If for those of you who are listening, if you've never been a part of our Discord server, make sure to join it. We have links to it on our official Barag, and also if you're a subscriber on our Subscribestar, make sure to take advantage of that as well. It's a fun place where we obviously can't post NSFW Lolly and Shota, but we can certainly talk about it and have a lot of fun discussions, and it's a fun community. Be sure to check it out if you ever get the chance.
Yep, we'd love to have you. Something I kind of wanted to talk to you about more is the fact that there's certain Shotas you see often in porn that I feel like they're more well known in porn than they were for the original story role they had in their game. Because,
yes.
These are Shotas, like the Shota models are extracted from the game, so. The most prominent ones I've seen are Star Child from Mass Effect 3, and so the interesting part of this is that Star Child is very disliked in the Mass Effect community because of his role in the ending of Mass Effect 3, but
yes.
he's been used a lot for straight Shota porn, or well, probably been used for Yaoi Shota as well, but I haven't really seen that butter very much him being used. But at any rate, yeah, he's been used a lot in straight Shota stuff. He's kind of fallen out of favor because better models have been discovered. So after Star Child was Kieran from Dragon Age Inquisition, he's Morgan's son. So I started seeing him more. And right now, the Alpha Shota is definitely Hugo from Plague Tale. I forgot the exact name of the game.
I think it is called a Plague's Tale, or like a
and
Plague.
It has like Plague's a Tale. Like a subtitle. I forgot what the subtitle is.
Well, that's the sequel, I think, because they made a second one. It was called like Plague's Tale Requiem or something. Some weird. I can't remember. Point is that the game. I think it got okay reviews, but nobody fondly remembers Hugo. because I don't even think he was the main character. He literally was just, he was kind of like the person you had to protect as the main female character, which I'm kind of honestly surprised there's not more porn of her and Hugo. Maybe there is, and I just haven't looked it up. But I mean, Hugo. What's that?
You'd think it happened. You would think it would happen. Yeah.
I know, because I kind of liked that female character. Like, she wasn't like, you know, ugly or anything, and she was interesting. But you know, Hugo, he probably just doesn't have time for that shit, because he pretty much has gone cross dimensions to Resident Evil 2, getting fucked by Ada Wong and Jill Valentine, or going into, let's see, what other characters has he been fucked by? He like he gets fucked by the Final Fantasy 7 remake characters, Aeris and Tifa. He goes. What's the other? Oh, Street Fighter characters. he doesn't have time to go back to a Plague's Tale universe.
Exactly. Now it's a porn's tale.
Yep. A porn's tale. It's no longer innocent. I mean, he may look cute and innocent, but the context of him is no longer that way. Though, you know what's interesting is I'm noticing a little more that they are using either... I'm assuming they're probably DAZ models or imported DAZ models, maybe with like mixed in with like custom Blender stuff. But I am noticing like non-Hugo stuff. It's still not the norm. Like, obviously Hugo dominates like the place in Shota everywhere. But I am noticing like some original models or models I have not seen like from different game franchises yet.
It's probably a shoulder from Daz, but I've seen him for a while. I think he's like a blonde boy. I would say he looks older than Hugo in Star Child, maybe about the same age as Kieran. It's kind of a basic model. I think I even noticed that when he shows up, he doesn't have like nipples.
That's right.
Like, he has like an areola, but like, no nipples that stick out or anything. So I'd like to see another Daz model come into being and being used as well. Or they just stick with Hugo because he's pretty good. But I think I would see it, and I would like to see an improvement on even Hugo. Might even be Daniel, because I've been doing stuff with him and Daz. So.
that would actually be hilarious, because so just to let you guys know, Dr. X has been working on basically Daz versions of both Robin, the mom of IA2, and Daniel, who's the main protagonist of IA2. And so far they're looking pretty awesome. I can't wait. And it would be really, really funny if Daniel became like the go-to ginger character in animations on Sengoku.
That'd be funny. At any rate, it would be amusing for me to basically have an animator just do renders of him fucking different girls from time and space, different dimensions, different game series.
And who would you say is the equivalent lolly that's used in like 3D animations? I feel like it's the Last of Us lolly. Oh god, what's her name? Sarah? Is it? No, wait.
It is Sarah, but I think probably Ellie is used as well. So I would say there's two from Last of Us.
And also Sherry Birkin from Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yes,
as well.
I think there might be another one from Resident Evil that's being used, but I think I forgot her name. And the other one I've seen is, I forgot the name, but like one or two lollies from Detroit Become Human.
Oh, yep. Yes, that's right. There was actually an amazing one that I really liked that was between, like, you know, a man and her, and it was so good. It was so well animated. It was insane. I do like that model. It's just funny how there's more, like we can think of more lolly 3D models than we can, like, Shota models. And I think you were talking about this, and I thought it was very interesting when you were talking about this. Remember how we were saying, or you were saying rather, that you would like to see about getting straight Shota to be appealing to, because I think we can fairly say that the vast majority of people that enjoy straight Shota are mostly male. But there are female fans too. And one of the things that you had noticed was kind of how the Shota is presented in animations, right?
Well, I'm not completely sure that the vast majority of people who like Straight Shota are men, but
well, that's true. We don't
in
know
in terms of like in terms of creators, almost certainly.
That's what you meant. Yes, in terms of that's what I meant. Like in terms of the creators of Straight Shota, there's definitely quite a few male creators, but in terms of enjoyers, we really don't know because most of the time people kind of keep it secret if they like it anyway, regardless of their gender or non-gender. So, tell me about what you were telling me the other day, though, like what you were saying regarding like how those animations are done.
Basically what I was talking about is that a lot of the Straight Shota is very geared towards the male gaze, basically. So which, you know, it's not surprising because if it's made by a man, then they're most likely thinking of what appeals to them by as a man, right?
It's yourself inserting as the Shota most of the time.
So what I've been interested in learning more about is what female Straight Shota fans are looking for in Straight Shota, and I've talked a little bit with female Straight Shota fans, and I know you know the very basic stuff like wanting female point of view or wanting more shots of the Shota and stuff like that instead of just like showing the typically or like very often very busty woman. Like shots of just them. If a woman is straight, then they're not necessarily going to be very interested in that, right?
Yeah, that's right. And like maybe you'll see maybe a little bit of like the torso of the Shota, and that's it.
Yeah, so I would think that the stuff that just like is just like the torso of a Shota, which is obviously that's often done just for self-insertion stuff, but it might not be very interesting for a female Straight Shota fan, they just see a torso. But yeah, I would say, you know, showing more of the Shota would probably be a big help. More interesting scenarios for the Straight Shota. And this basically goes to the same for like a straight loli in appealing to women.
I was just about to say,
Showing more of the boy or the man. A female point of view, etc., and having very interesting scenarios instead of just having, you know, fucking, even though that appeals to me, I do like having scenarios as well, as it makes sense that women who are into that stuff would like enjoy more of that stuff instead of just fucking.
Right, because in the context of straight loli, if you're a female enjoyer of that, you're going to be self-inserting as the loli.
Yeah, most likely.
And so, you know, if all you're seeing is literally just like the penis of a man or just like their upper legs or whatever, that's not necessarily going to be super exciting. I mean, you probably will still enjoy it, but like, I'm sure there are female fans out there of straight loli that would like to see like who the man is that's fucking them in the animation.
Yeah. Like if you think about it, like if you like, let's say this is a parallel universe where like in Straight Shota, like you would like, it was 50-50 if you actually see the woman's face or the loli's face, wouldn't that be a little weird? Yeah, I think it'd be, I'd much prefer if I saw the woman's face or the loli's face in Straight Shota. So it makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I'm sure there's like, and what kind of makes that fun is I feel like it kind of allows for the creativity to increase, because then you may have to like think about the design of the actual Shota or the design of the male character, and even vice versa. I mean, I can't say I've seen too many examples of where like the Shota's fucking the lolly and you can't really see the lolly. That's actually kind of rare. So I wouldn't say it applies to that necessarily, but it definitely would be fun, I think, to be able to do that.
Yeah. And even though we've said that probably most of the creators of Straight Shota are men, there's definitely female creators of Straight Shota, and you know, shout out to them and their great work. Done some great stuff.
Oh yeah, like I mean that's kind of the thing is that there's a lot of really talented artists out there that have done and still do Straight Shota, Straight Lolly, Sholikon. They do some awesome stuff, and you know, and you know, all I can really say to them is, you know, stay the course and hang in there, because you know, there's certainly moments where you get challenged as a Straight Shota or Lolly creator, and you just have to persevere through that, you know. Dr. X and I, just, you know, to kind of give a little bit of context on that, you know, with IA2, you know, there was a point where we were kind of like self-doubting ourselves on whether or not we could continue IA2, and then we were kind of just like, no, you know what, fuck that. we're gonna keep going. And that's ended up being immensely beneficial to us, and I've definitely seen Straight Shota and Shota and Lolly content creators that have done kind of the same thing, where they've gone on Subscribestar or they've gone on Fanbox, because those are kind of the only two platforms where you can get support by doing that kind of art. And I've seen like them, they like get a huge boost of support, like it's crazy to see, and it just makes me happy to see that they're able to keep doing work that they love and get financially supported for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very important thing to consider if you're ever doubting how things are for Shota and Lolly fans, is that now more than ever you can live off of it potentially, or make a decent income from it. And I'm really proud of the creators who have managed to do that, have managed to make a decent income from the work on Subscribestar or Fanbox or elsewhere. So that's really great to see. And I'd like to see more of that happen.
And, you know, kind of that's part of the reason why we have this podcast, is so that we can hopefully, you know, in the ideal scenario, we spread more awareness of these different creators and just of the whole medium of Shota and Lolly not safe for work content, because that would be awesome to see it just keep growing and growing. I mean, it is a big community. It's niche, but it is a big niche, I would say. There's a lot of fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's only there's going to be even more and more as time goes on, which is really awesome to see. If you're a creator, it would be great to do an episode with you. So just let us know if you're interested in doing that.
Yes, like I said, if you ever join our IA server, you know, Dr. X and I are always on there. We practically live on Discord. it's like our main communication platform. I don't know what we would do without it. I mean, we do have alternative chat platforms just in case. We do have like an Element server as well, but that's not as like well known, of course, and it's not, we don't really promote it that much. But yeah, like drop us a message if you're a Shota or a Lolly content creator and you'd love to be on our podcast. Well, we'd love to have you. I mean, it's always awesome to hear different perspectives, and you know, you don't just have to be an artist. We're certainly not. You can be a voice actor. You can be a writer. You know, you can be someone who maybe doesn't always exclusively work on Lolly and Shota, but you kind of do like a mishmash of everything, because there's definitely a lot of people like that. That's like the other interesting thing too, is content creators who have created Lolly and Shota art and you know, they may have done it for a little while and then they shied away from it because maybe they, you know, felt like it was causing problems for them, or maybe they're being shy about it and they, you know, have to, they can't talk about it as much or mention it as much. Well, you can on here. Come on, just come on down.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what's great to see though, like if a creator like stops doing Shonen Lolly for whatever reason, and then later they return back to it because they're like, fuck it, I'm gonna do what I want.
Yep,
it's awesome, and I have seen it happen.
Yes, I have seen that, and that's awesome because that means that you've done something to kind of go against the grain. And you know, Dr. X and I are firm believers in that if you really love creating a particular kind of content, it really should not matter what other people think, because when you feel confident, or when you feel like I just want to create this content because I like it and it's fun, I tend to see that success comes along with it.
Yeah, and in the IA series, you have definitely employed that philosophy of just doing whatever the fuck we want, creating the stories we want to make, rather than, you know, trying to self-censor for different platforms or any junk like that. We don't have any, we're not doing the landlord thing, which, if you don't know, basically, after Patreon banned incest, what you would see from creators who are doing incest stuff is like they would like change the mom to being like a landlord or something,
or step landlady. Our joke that we make is step landlady, because if you actually read what Patreon said regarding incest, they also banned step incest. That's right.
Yeah. So, but the step stuff is what people do on like Pornhub and
yep,
and like other sites to like get past the incest ban, is like they say, oh, it's my stepdaughter, my stepson, my stepsister.
It's not a big deal. and they always like preface it with that. It's really,
yeah,
it's cringy. But I know there's a lot of people that like it. I don't personally. I'm not a fan of it. But yeah, like those platforms. This podcast, we probably are not going to talk about it a whole ton, just because we like to be, you know, more positive on our outlook and stuff. But, you know, our first IA game in Sexual Awakening 1, first of all, that was not the original name of our first game. We had to change it because of Patreon. We wanted it originally, well, it was originally called Incestral Awakening, like Incestral. But then I realized it'd actually be better if it was just called Incestual Awakening and make more sense. But we couldn't do that on Patreon. We had to change it. And then of course, eventually, Patreon just prevented us from doing anything on that site. And, you know, like when you have a site that is very inconsistent with their rules, especially when it comes to the look of a character. A great example of this would be like, for example, if you created like a shorter character, like a goblin or a gnome, or but didn't make them like a short stack. You kind of like just made them look like just like a shorter human. There have been examples of Patreon being like, oh, well, no, you're not allowed to do that. Or you end up, or it ends up saying, no, that's fine, because you just happen to make their ass or their tits a little bigger or something. It really weird stuff like that happens.
Uh-huh.
And I can see how that can get frustrating. So having sites like Subscribestar, or like Fanbox or Barag, if you just want to just post artwork and just want to make stuff, Barag is the perfect spot.
Yeah, it's a really great spot for artists to share their work. Yeah, I just go to go back to a previous point. I'm really not into the step insta stuff. I think you should go all the way, honestly.
Yes. Yes, I'm 100% on that. You know, that's the other thing too, is I actually, like, if I was to rank, like, my favorite, like, fetishes, like, alongside, of course, Shota and Lolly, I would probably put incest at, like, number two or number three. Like, I kind of, like, gravitate very heavily to straight Shota that involves, like, a mom character or an older sister character or, like, another Lolly sister. Like, that's the whole reason why I loved making the first IA, because I was able to create, like, every possible scenario that I had wanted to see in, like, a straight Shota game. I wanted to get a big sister who was athletic and, like, a borderline Amazon, and then I wanted, like, a nice, like, thick, soft, plump mom character, and then I wanted, like, I just kept going on and on with what I wanted.
Yeah. And I, too, even did other stuff that we had wanted to put in the first game.
That's right.
Or just said ideas that we wanted to eventually see done. And the first IA was full of incest, which was great.
I remember back when, during the first IA, one of the things I had, like, put down as different characters that were not related to the family that you could fuck was, like, for example, a black girl, an Indian girl, you know, like, I'm trying to remember, basically I was going, like, for different ethnicities, and we didn't get to do that, in the first IA, but in the second IA, we like pushed heavily for that. 'Cause we're just like, yes, we want like all this great variety, and that's what we've accomplished so far. And we're continuing to do.
Exactly, and Ember's looking forward to doing more scenarios in the future and expanding on what we've already done, because we've done a different set of characters in the second game, but keeping in line with making them very diverse, which I think is one of the greatest strengths in Sexual Awakening, is that the characters are very distinct from each other.
Yeah, like, both in personality and their scenes and, you know, their looks, they're all very distinct. I mean, how many, okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you, Dr. X, how many examples can you think of cute black lollies? Can you think of how many? Like, only, like, maybe one? Or, like, it's very hard to think of any, honestly.
You don't see it very often in like hentai, that's for sure.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
There are some from, like different Safe for Work series, but it is true that you don't see it very often in porn.
That's right. Oh, actually, there is going to be that. Although I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she's like considered a lolly or not. I'd have to look at her background more, but remember that, in the new Street Fighter that's going to be coming out, there's that one, like, black lolly character, or she kind of looks like a lolly. I'm not sure if she actually is, but she's good. I like her character. I forget her name though.
I haven't seen her name.
She's been in some videos. I unfortunately forget her name, but she's had some good art. Already, so some of which, you know, they age her up, and others they keep her more lollified, and those are the ones I like. I like. Oh yeah, that's probably like a pet peeve of mine, and I think it's of yours too. Of when, like, they'll take, like, a canonically lolly or canonically Shota character and, like, age them up, or, like, make their body proportions so that, like, they're not even close to, like, how they actually are supposed to look, like, in the show or the movie or the game.
Yeah, it's you know, it's okay to age up a character if you just, like, wanted to see them older or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. In terms of, like my personal preference, I do prefer if, like, a lolly character stays lolly in art. But, you know, like, as I said, everyone can, you know, make the art. as they like. But if, for example, the Marnie from Pokemon.
I
mean, she looks pretty flat to me in the game. But you often see her with like large tits and older in games. I mean, in fan art.
Yes, that's true.
It's probably a mix of people just doing that because they don't want to evade the wrath of Twitter or Patreon.
I'm fairly certain that's probably a plays a big part in it. Like, yeah. And you know, like we said, there are certain people who do like to see how a character would look aged up, and I certainly do like that art. But I guess I have more of a pet peeve with when people are forced to, you know, exactly, age them up because they don't want to incur the wrath. That's what I should clarify.
Yeah. That's the real problem.
Yeah, I don't like having artists having to kind of self-censor their like an original idea that they had all because they don't want some social media platform to go after them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of like, oh, you know, a good example of that would be like, for example, Steven Universe, for example, and like, you know, Steve, like Shota Steven with the gems, like, Connie and Steven. Like, how familiar are you? Well, I mean, you know the characters of Steven Universe, but I don't think you've ever seen the show, right?
No, I don't think I've seen an episode of it. I know, like, through osmosis of, like, what it's about, basically, but I haven't actually watched it.
Yeah, yeah. And, but it's like, you know, a lot of people, like, they age up Steven, which Steven did become older, like, later on in the show, but, like, I always liked the idea of, you know, Shota Steven being with the other gems, or being with Connie, who's, like, the lolly of the show. And I always pictured, like, there's an episode where Connie and Steven fuse into Steve-Ani. And I always pictured it'd be really, really funny if, like, somebody made, like a hentai or a comic where the way that they fuse is Steven's penis goes into her pussy, and then they fuse. but like, you don't see that because people who would freak out over that, certain people would, if they depicted them accurately to when that first happened, which is when they were showed on lollies. So yeah, like that sort of stuff, you know, we're very much against any kind of like self-censorship or being forced to censor yourself, or even worse, like, even worse is when you just don't make any art at all, because like I can totally understand it from that perspective too. Like, what if, you know, you really wanted to draw some Shota or Lolly not safe for work art, and you're like, oh, but if I do that, I'll probably, you know, get people mad at me if I post it online, and then you just don't do anything. That would really push me over the edge in terms of the censoring.
Yeah. There's just one point I wanted to bring up is like, we were talking about like the Shota models. I could have sworn I heard like a Shota in the Final Fantasy 16 trailer. And I'm not 1% sure, but it sounds like a Shota to me. So I'm like, I feel like there's extremely good chance that someone is going to end up ripping that model and using it for porn, which is going to be awesome to see.
I wonder if maybe there'll be like a Shota character that will appear in like the part 2 of Final Fantasy VII Remake, because they're making that in like 2 or 3 parts, right?
Yeah, I think there's another part of it. I'm not completely sure. Like, the story's not finished yet.
No, it's not. And it'd be great if like they just added like a random, or maybe there is a Shota character and I never knew about it, but it'd be funny if they added like a random Shota character, because the Final Fantasy characters from that remake have been ripped like crazy. I'm sure for FF16 they'll do the same thing. And so yeah, if there's a Shota character in there, oh boy, it's gonna, we're gonna have a new crown for who the model is going to be used for the Shota over Hugo.
Yeah, and I think I've seen like lolly models being used from the remake as well.
Oh, I think
like young Tifa.
Oh yeah, but was that, is that actually from the actual game?
I'm not sure actually. It might have been just someone like made a lolly version of those characters, but I have a feeling that they were
maybe
actually shown in the game.
Maybe it was a flashback. It might have been from like a flashback or something. See, you can obviously tell that I have neither Dr. X nor I have played FF7 before, so we don't know the entire story. But don't worry, we will. I've actually been playing FF9, but yeah, like that would be great because something that Dr. X and I have talked about is there's when a new Shota character or a new Lolly character comes around, that's like a huge celebration because that usually when you think about it, Shota characters and Lolly characters usually are always like secondary or background characters when you think about it, but like you don't really see them as like main characters a whole lot. Or maybe I'm just misremembering, but that's what it kind of feels like a lot of the time.
I think you see younger characters being very prominent in lots of Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the kind of like more realistic 3D games, yeah, I would say that it's not as common. With those, it's probably a little more common with anime styled games.
Oh, that's a good point. True, like Genshin Impact and things like that. Yes, you're right. Yeah, like that's definitely true that the Japan does feature lollies and shotas more prominently in their games and their media than in the West. Case in point, Spy X Family. I love Anya and Becky and all the other Shota and Lolly characters in that show. It's great. Yeah. I also like Maiden Abyss. And what's funny about that particular show is that the creator of Maiden Abyss actually said that he likes the depictions of hentai of those characters.
That's great. It's awesome.
Very, very cultured. I like it.
What a Chad.
Yep. And so it would just be cool if, you know, to see more of them. You know, I'm all for seeing more Shota and Lolly characters. So, you know, if FF16 will have one, it would actually be really cool. I don't know. I think you only play one character though in FF16, right? Or do you have a party with you? I can't remember.
I have no idea.
Well, if they do have a party and you actually do have a Shota as a party member, that'd be fucking awesome. That would be so great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Interesting thing for me is that I've been learning how to convert models to DAZ, so it'll be interesting to see what I end up doing converting as more games release and as I look more at different games. And if you don't know, for those listening, a very important part or important reason for converting stuff to DAZ, if you're a porn creator, is you can utilize already made tools to attach genitals to the character.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And I think it's what it's very common to see is basically, like a character's head will be put on top of the DAZ body or basically the DAZ head will be shaped to look like the character and the body as well, so that you can end up using like genital models that have been made for DAZ. So I think that stuff is very like commonplace because it's a bit of a pain to make all that stuff by yourself, like new genitals when that stuff is already made.
Oh yeah, and you know, I know that there's a lot of Western games out there that use DAZ, and you know, it sometimes gets a bit of flack for having like DAZ gets flack rather or the models because of the sliders as they're called, because how DAZ models work and the reason why DAZ is so useful is like Dr. X said, it'll come with like pre-made stuff, It'll come with tons and tons of add-ons. And one of the things that's cool about it is you can use these sliders as basically shaping tools for anything, for expressions, for body types, for hair, all kinds of stuff. And what ends up happening in a lot of these games made with DAZ is they either don't have a lot of experience with it, or maybe they just that they are taking, you know, some models that may not be as high quality, and then they crank up the sliders, and then they look very uncanny valley, very weird. And I think that from what I have seen, when you really work carefully with DAZ, you can get some amazing results.
Yeah, you definitely can. And that's what I'm working on.
And I don't know how many people like know about like the fact that you can stylize stuff too. Like you can put different shaders and look, make things look more like more of the Final Fantasy kind of style look in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Or you can actually even make stuff look more like toon shaded, like Overwatch, or you can make it look more like an anime. There's tons and tons of stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, and you can using something called diffeomorphic, you can port stuff from DAZ into Blender.
Well, which Blender, of course, is like super, like that. That's a super program, of course.
Yeah, if you want to do animated porn, that's pretty much what you should go with. Instead of trying to animate things in DAZ, which sounds like hell. It's not really intended for animations. But Blender
yeah,
has
though
a lot
it does
of
have
functionality.
Animation tools. Yeah, it has a ton of functionality and ton of pre-made stuff. Like I know there's like pre-made animations you can get for DAZ that are really good. But in terms of like having to work with it, the animation wise, yeah, it's not really made for it. Though I can't imagine how nightmarish it is to work in Source Filmmaker. Remember how like that was kind of the prominent way to do animated porn for quite a while was Source Filmmaker, because people weren't as familiar with Blender and DAZ.
Yeah, I think a big reason why Source Filmmaker was being used is because Blender may not have been far along enough in its animation tools. But yeah, I feel like lots of people are moving on to Blender now. Really become more advanced in its animations, and more and more resources for making porn in Blender.
Yeah, there's literally entire Discord communities for that stuff. Sadly, not for Lolly and Shota, because Discord terms of service, but still very, very good communities that have resources for that. And you know, there are websites though that do go over how to do animations, like ATF, All the Fallen, is a great website that does allow, you know, posts about Lolly and Shota. In fact, that's pretty much what they're all about. And so you can certainly look at resources and tutorials there. Do they have any, like, I know they got DAZ stuff, but do they have any Blender stuff, do you know?
Blender stuff? I'm pretty sure that people have posted, like, Blender resources on ATF, yeah.
Yeah, because I guess it doesn't really matter if it's Lolly or Shota when it comes to just Blender itself, because I think once you know the tools themselves, the rigging and the animation tools, it doesn't really matter what you're putting into the program.
No, not really.
And that's what makes Blender good.
Yeah, if you're making the animations yourself, it shouldn't really matter that much if the characters are Shota or Lolly. Maybe a little bit harder to align the characters, but you might have to be a little more creative with the positions, but overall it doesn't seem like a huge barrier to doing porn. I will say that in terms of DAZ, like if you're using pre-made poses, obviously those poses are going to be predominantly adult characters, so you're gonna have to be doing a lot of adjustments.
Yes.
Right. I did see someone make or share like a straight lolly pose pack on for Daz.
Yes.
On ATF, which is pretty great. I haven't seen anyone make a straight Shota pack, but maybe one day. Of course, since I know my way around Daz, maybe I'll make that one day. But
probably gonna be you. You'll get all the kudos. Perhaps. and the one ups and the likes and the points. And then people will be like, oh yes, Dr. X, he's the highly respected straight Shota person for Blender. That would certainly be really cool.
Blender and Daz would be nice.
Yes. Oh man. It's been growing. It's not like, see, that's where Dr. X and I are really excited about the future of Shota and Lolly content creators and content like availability. Is it's only been growing in the years that we've been working on IA. We've just seen it expand and expand, and there's more resources out there. And like we've said before, it's, I think, very slowly becoming more acceptable in terms of like posting about it, talking about it. It's only moving in a positive direction, in our opinions.
Yeah, I do really believe that. So I think that's all the time we have for today. It was a great episode, great first episode, and I really enjoyed doing that. And I'm looking forward to more episodes in the future. And we've actually got a guest lined up for the next episode.
Yes, we do, and we think you're gonna really like it. And we're gonna get more guests in the future for you. So see you guys later.
See ya.